two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, hello Australia, and welcome to everyone listening around the big brown land. Great to be back on your wireless. Massive show today. Hello Dave, how are you, sir?
G'day Mickey, great to be here.
Can't wait to get to the bottom of what you've been up to while we've been away. Yes. Bombshell, no Jane Kennedy today. We will explain all in just a minute. But in the meanwhile, we'll try and soldier on, Dave.
Yes.
My mate Paul Collegia's going to swing by to talk about his wine bluffs and a couple of other stories.
Funny bugger.
Mark Johnson is in the studio today. Now, that name won't be a immediately
don't know Mark.
Unless you happen to be a veteran working in the field of arts where he's doing some very important work, we will discuss
interesting
that in this very important week, up to Anzac Day.
Absolutely.
What could be more appropriate?
Can't wait.
We're going to take your calls, we're going to take your tweets, we're also going to ask you to give us a call and tell us what happened while we were away. All that and much, much more on the big program today. Hello, Dave, how are you?
Yeah, I'm going well, Mick. It's just...
Was that music very quiet then?
No, that was... Well, you did want a bit louder.
I did. It just didn't feel right to me.
It was really loud in my headphones.
Okay, well, I must have an issue.
You might have some headphone or hearing problems. But no, it's
how
great to be...
You?
No.
Well, how dare you?
Just, you know.
Welcome back, Mick.
No,
how do you go? You look well rested. How is the mattress?
Well, the mattress is fantastic. Thanks to Tempur. Thanks to Kennedy Malloy. Liz and I, every time we roll out of it, we're going, how good is this mattress?
We roll out of it?
No, because when you get out of bed...
Does it have like an ejector button or something that you just...
I tell you what, though, it goes up and goes down and it's got this
we're
zero...
We're still talking about the mattress, are
yes,
we?
Yes, and right. The zero gravity puts your feet up and down as well. It's unreal.
Zero
Dog loves
gravity.
It, we love it.
It's NASA-style technology.
It really is.
It has heat-resistant tiles.
In fact, we were going to put some stuff back under the bed because we have to sort of reshuffle the whole house to put the bed in, and we've decided, no, nothing goes under the bed anymore. This is strictly temper only.
You sure you can't lower the bed and crush it like they
no,
do? With
you can't. No, you can't. Not going
to
do that at all.
All right, well, good to see you. What was the highlight of your break? Did you do anything?
Well, I was on air. I was on the wheels of steel while you were away, Mick, pumping out the wattage out of the cottage. But we had the Easter break.
Having a meltdown, obviously.
Had the Easter break off and...
what did you do for Easter?
It was a bit of a backyard blitz at our joint.
Burned down Notre Dame?
No,
was that you?
That.
Sounds like you.
Not guilty, Your Honour. Went to a brewery with the kids. That was
now,
a bit of fun.
That's more like it. Yeah. That's what Jesus would have wanted.
That's right.
I know Jesus and that's what...
Yeah, the kids loved it. It was good and we had a...
I went to a brewery once and rose after the third day.
I went to get some Easter eggs on Sunday morning because...
Oh, hang on.
Well, the problem
you left
was...
that late?
We forgot.
What, you're on your own Easter egg hunt, were you?
We decided, we'll get them half price at Woolies on the Sunday because it's the day that they usually are, but they had none.
So the kids woke up to no...
They got some Cadbury Bites is what they got, so just a little packet of...
So they wake up and there's nothing and then you nick down and...
Yeah. Well, I was still in bed at the
That's
time.
That's the cheapest, nastiest
The problem was they didn't have any. They'd sold out. So I just had to get your regular little crunchies and
you should have put them into the back garden and said, look, here's an Easter egg hunt, and just never admitted that you didn't hide.
And they just kept,
are they still there? Are your kids still wandering around the back garden?
They're a bit older now for the eggs. So I said, look, and they go, oh, can we have some money for Easter? I said, no, it's a...
It's a standover tactic now, isn't it?
Chocolate only. Yeah. What about you, mate? How was your break?
I went and saw Dumbo.
Oh, okay. That's the
it's a Disney film.
Disney film.
It's a...
I'm trying to think of the director. He did...
Tim Burton.
Oh,
you're an idiot.
No, I'm just trying to remember.
How hard is it?
No, well, I know it's very well received. How was it?
It was very good.
Was it?
It's a bit sad.
Why? What happened? I've never seen the original Dumbo.
He's an elephant and he flies. He's got big ears, but his mum leaves him. I don't want to go into it because it did affect me.
Does he find his mum again, though?
Oh, spoiler alert.
Okay,
what's wrong with you?
The movie. I'm just asking
it's the same
questions.
Plot of Game of Thrones, I believe.
Is that
the elephant turns up at the wall.
Did the boys
love
it?
The good guys are going, I didn't take the boys. I went on my... Listen, we have to explain. No Jane Kennedy.
Yeah, now where is she?
One word, rehab.
It's about time.
Do you know?
Oh, let's be honest.
I'll tell you what, we're gonna save so much money on Sauvignon Blanc this
tell
week.
You what.
She's away. She's doing a secret women's business. I won't say much.
Okay.
She's not happy at home. I know that.
What?
I think...
Her and Rob. No, they're strong.
There's problems there. I think this is what you call, you go away.
No.
It's like a counselling week where you see if you can. You know what she's working on?
What's that?
Her bodybuilding body, like Barnaby Joyce's wife.
You know how she was unhappy? Oh, yeah, of course. That's right.
Jane's going to come back cut.
Yeah, she will. She'll be a MILF.
Sure.
Come on, I don't know what I can
say. She'll
come back
cut in a bikini.
She will too.
Just sit here and put us both in a headlock. It's kind of turning me on. You know where she may have gone? She may have gone to the Today Show.
Oh, really? Yeah,
finally,
that's true.
Because we suggested that.
Yeah.
In fact, I think we pitched her at one stage, didn't we?
Yeah, here's the audition tape.
Dear Channel 9 bigwigs, you need a Today Show host who is fearless in the face of her enemies.
Give me back my phone, asshole.
Someone unfiltered and raw.
Do you know what? I had a good pork this week.
Jeez. And someone who isn't afraid to say it how it is.
This is, I think we have...
Jane Kennedy brings a fresh face to women's issues.
Girls do the wahoo. Chicka-chicka.
Do the
wahoo. Clickety-click.
And a sympathetic ear to men's issues.
I feel sorry for micropenises.
Unlike former hosts, she knows how to hide her on-set drinking.
No. I would smuggle it in a secret way only women know how.
And she knows how to give the ratings that bit of a boost.
I sat on my phone. It was vibrating underneath me.
This shows.
Might do it again.
She'll be great at celebrity interviews.
David and Taylor, I would like to you guys.
Jeez Louise.
Seriously, the only other person I was Alice Cooper.
She speaks multiple languages.
I've got double go, nub go, have a go, I've got cap again, put good, I've got with get tickets.
And has interesting hobbies.
I was a philatelist.
Plus, she'll fix anything that's broken on the set.
Tradie Janie's been doing some unbelievable handiwork.
She can fill in last minute when the musical guest cancels.
There's no one as lovely in the world as me.
And who doesn't love having a dog as big as a horse on the set?
Hey, I want to clown someone. Oh, sorry.
So surely you're convinced by now. But if not, Jane is willing to go the extra mile to score this gig.
Who am I sleeping with? Do I have to get on all fours?
Let's all wake up with Jane.
Yeah, dickheads.
I miss her already.
Yeah.
All right, we'll check in a little later on in the week with Jane Kennedy. In the meantime,
yes,
I want you to ring me now.
Yes,
133353. Tell me what I missed while I was away. We're going to take your calls. We're going to do this for a couple of breaks. People, get on board.
A drive home that's a little unpredictable. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Nick Malloy's here, Jane's a little extended break. Back later in the week. Driving you home, Kennedy Malloy.
You got that right. 133353. What did we miss while we were away? Loads of calls banked up. We'll get to them in a minute.
Yes.
Before I do that, though, Dave, I want to go round the grounds and address a story that happened in each state while we were away.
Starting which state?
Well, let's start with Perth. And this is massive news. Over there to Perth and all our listeners in the great state of WA, a Fremantle shop owner, Antonio Urachi, has finally won his 64-year legal battle to build a bike shed on his footpath. Now, that is fantastic.
On the footpath?
Well, out the front of his shop, mate.
Okay.
So it's just a... Wait, that's not the point. The point is he's had a 64-year-old... Like when he started, it was probably important to have a bike.
Yeah, that's true.
That's like having a car park out the front of your shop. Whereas now, 64 years later,
jeez.
I mean, I don't know why he bothered, but gee, the wheels of the legal system over there do not turn quickly.
Why so long?
Don't know, mate, but he's 87 and he's managed to wheel it in. So can you do me a favour, everyone? Can you find in the city of Fremantle Antonio Urachi's shop and go and park your bike?
Yes. Make use of that 64
out the front
year.
And let the man and his dogged attempt to get a bike bike rack, a bike shed in front of his shop.
Would you give up after 30 years, though, you'd think?
Never.
Okay.
No, that's when I would fire up. That's when I would go berserk.
Five years you'd give up, wouldn't you?
Would have been a penny farthing when
probably
he started.
Probably would have been, too.
I want some penny farthings. Yeah. Pikes out the front.
And he would have gone through the dragster phase sort of in the 70s and your BMX in the 80s and your races of the 90s. So he's gone through all the different bikes.
He's gone through everything.
64 years later, he finally gets a crack at it.
I want to speak to that man.
Yeah.
Well done. Let's go to the great state of New South Wales.
Right.
While we're away, Winks.
Oh,
Dave.
How good.
Won her final race before retirement in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes at Royal Randwick for any idiot who's deaf or stupid enough to have missed this. Here's how it went down.
And Winters rounding them up, coming right around the field. Kluger takes an inside run. She's gone for home already, Winks. She beats off Hartnell. Kluger going up the inside. Happy Clever can't go on. Winks is two lengths clear. Kluger sticks on. Then came Hartnell, but she's well clear, Winks, inside the final 100 metres. Today we farewell an Australian icon, the greatest of all time. Winks wins her third. Queen Elizabeth beats Kluger.
That's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable, and she will be missed by everyone apart from a couple of horses mentioned there, Happy Clapper and Hartnell. Hartnell is one of those horses that's been traumatised. Mm. Haylist, I remember Haylist, who in any other era would be go down as one of the great horses, but ran a number
will
of
seconds. Will
there
ever be a horse like Winks again, though? In our lifetime, do you? It's hard.
It made every other horse in all the races look like two blokes in a pantomime horse costume. So I'd say Knight, what a great retirement. Mm. What a great way to go out. And in her last race to still finish five lengths clear.
Nuts, isn't it?
Shows just...
You know what they need is a movie about Winks. That's what they should make, a movie about...
Let's wait till my movie comes out first. By the way, Rides Like a Girl.
That's right.
Which will be in cinemas later this year. I'm in the trailer
the
twice. I stand out. I look great. I look like...
Andy Capp.
Who's that guy? I'm like a Brando of the racetrack.
Is that what you are?
Yeah, an older Brando.
Yeah, a little over.
Not a younger. Right. Shut up, Dave.
And hairy.
Don't you go with it.
All right.
Hey, let's go to the great state of South Australia.
What's happening there?
This is massive. Now, this will upset the locals, make no mistake. Mm. Ice Coffee Supplies of their favourite Ice Coffee Farmers Union.
Yeah.
Are running low
what
because
the
of the drought.
Hell? Oh, no kidding.
That needs a dramatic sting or something.
If I had one,
Dave,
I'd put it on.
Well, good for you. Customers have complained about a shortage of a popular iced coffee brand in South Australia, with its maker telling the ABC, this is big ABC news, of course. With an election.
That's all I had. Is that not?
Well, it was late and inappropriate.
Okay.
Much like yourself today. Ooh, I like that.
Not bad.
That's not bad. Now, listen, Farmers Union, this is a state institution, and it's iconic. People live off this.
Yeah.
There's a milk run in the morning. They drop it off at the front of your house.
Yeah. Tradies all across South Australia, they wouldn't know what to do.
Oh, that's breakfast. That's the breakfast of champions.
Absolutely. Chalky milk.
In South Australia. It's not chalky milk. It's iced coffee, Dave.
Beg your pardon.
How dare you call it a chalky milk?
Well, it's in the same family.
It's not in the same family.
It's milk with a flavour. It's in the same.
Dave.
Well, chalky milk, chalky coffee.
No,
coffee.
Mate.
All right.
No, Farmers Union. Farmers Union.
All right.
This should be on their state flag. It should be their state.
You've got your pie floater and your Farmers Union. That's South Australia.
Well,
right there.
That's dinner, lunch and breakfast.
That's right. All the food groups.
But because
after.
Of the drought, they're running low. The dairy farmers, hello.
Mm.
We should get our cows, Kennedy and Malloy, to specifically... create milk for...
Yes.
Okay, well, I think we've...
Is that enough of that?
I think we've done the strings. Okay. 1-3-5-3. I'm still going around the grounds.
Right.
Get involved. We've got some callers racked up. Well, that's a good one. I'll get to that in a minute.
Right.
Let's get involved. What happened while we're away?
Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Paul Kalesia is going to join us in the next 10-15 minutes.
Wait.
And Mark Johnson in the second hour. I can't wait to meet him and hear his story as well.
Okay, that's right. It concerns veterans and the arts community and the valuable work they're doing in that space. It's very important stuff given the week we've got coming up to Anzac Day.
Absolutely.
So tune in and it'll be good radio and it'll be great to hear. On this important issue. Now, we're going around the grounds. 1-3-3-5-3. By the way, if you want to get involved, give us a call. Sorry, I haven't got to you yet. I am still ploughing through
you're going through the states.
Who haven't I done, Dave?
Have you done the state of Queensland?
No, I haven't. Great state of Queensland. Well, I had a wonderful story while we were away.
Mm.
Here's the headline. Mm. Women filmed performing sex acts in broad daylight.
Oh.
And it's a big story. Big hello to everyone in Brisbane. I have a feeling I may know these girls. a group of women... who allegedly engaged in public sex acts on the street of an affluent Brisbane dining precinct last month will not be charged.
What the hell? Really?
They should be rewarded.
You can
get
away with that?
They should get a grant from the Arts Council.
I'm not sure whether that's appropriate,
though. I would suggest, well done. Should be encouraged in broad daylight. The three women aged in their 20s had enjoyed a boozy lunch a boozy Sunday lunch together on James Street near the city's party quarter. You know that, Fortitude Valley.
Got it.
In early March at about 3 p.m, the trio stumbled out of the upmarket Hellenica restaurant. Make a booking. You never know. You might luck in.
That's it.
I'll have what they were having. Hot table.
So they don't get charged.
They were sitting near the window. Oh, well, and this has caused outrage, the fact they haven't been charged.
Interesting.
I think they made a judgment that right. All things considered, okay. No one got hurt. Yeah. It was all a bit of fun, but they entered the street, and that's where it got steamy.
Mm.
It quickly descended into something people have described as vulgar and obscene, with women performing sex acts upon each other in broad daylight.
Right.
Well done, everybody involved.
Congratulations, Queensland.
That is fantastic. Rob's on the line. Rob, you're calling from the great state of Queensland. What happened up there?
Okay, Dave, hey, I've got to admit, man, I think your story might have been slightly more interesting than mine.
Well, what's yours, Rob? Tell us.
The International Space Station actually flew clean overhead Brisbane on Sunday night.
How good's that,
by the way? It was actually visible with the naked eye.
What do you mean?
You could see it without a telescope, yeah. Man. Like it was like the brightest shooting star you've ever seen screaming across the sky.
It goes fast, doesn't it, Rob? It really moves fast.
Hey, nerds, talk amongst yourselves.
Sorry, Nick. I know it's a bit far out of our reach, mate, but come on, you can still...
Do you reckon from the space station, they would have been able to see those girls having sex on the street? How close were they?
Apparently tonight at 6:20 again, Dave. Look to the skies, Rob, across Brisbane, because that space station is doing its thing again. So you got the Quinella, mate.
Yeah, well, who knows what's going on up there? They've got herpes up there. Do you remember that? Do you remember that story, Rob? Wow. Someone got herpes on the space station, and then it was revealed there was a space suit that a woman couldn't fit into because she's obviously stacking it on. Oh, it's all that zero gravity.
That's what it
stuff.
Is. Yeah,
it's obviously going to come back. Yeah. Probably before and after shot from that space station. All right, Rob, well done. Like it's all that. Happening. Give him a prize, Dave.
I'll tell you what, Rob, you've got a six-month sports subscription to KO, which has got over 50 sports instantly streamed. Oh, that's scary.
You'd need that on the space station.
You would, wouldn't
That'd
you?
Pass a bit of time. Oh, well done, Rob. And your son was with you? It was a nerdy father-son thing, was it?
Well, he studied it all last term at school, so he thought it was the coolest thing ever.
Well done.
That's science, isn't it? That's awesome.
Exactly.
So that's what's going on in Brisbane. Can we counterpoint that? What happened in Melbourne while
I tell you
Dave?
What, my best friend went and saw Iggy Pop on Sunday night at Festival Hall in Melbourne, and it was his birthday as well.
How old?
72.
72!
I think it was in half the first song, shirt came off.
I need to ask this.
Yeah.
Did the shirt come off? Within, he's the only 72-year-old man I know getting around without a shirt on. And how were the boobs? Were they 72 years? Was it that National Geographic look?
Really
sad. Or
saggy.
Were they up there?
I tell you what, though, all things considered, he's in amazing condition. Henry Rollins was there. Henry Rollins was also at the Sydney shows at the Opera House.
We've had him on.
Had him in here. He sung Happy Birthday up on stage with Iggy on Sunday night.
Did he have a top on?
He did have a top on, but smashed out all the classics like Lust for Life. I did some weird sin as well and Candy. But Iggy Pop, he is an international treasure.
He is unbelievable. Does he own a shirt? If you went to Iggy Pop's wardrobe and opened it up, there'd be like 20 pairs of leather pants and no tops.
That's,
is that it?
That's quite the
figure,
isn't
he would pack light, wouldn't he? So when he's coming to Australia, he'd be going, what do I need to pack?
He'd just get your 7-kilo bag. That's all he'd need.
He put shoes on?
Yeah, he has shoes on.
He has shoes on?
I think
so. I don't think he does.
We never really see. You always just see them from the waist up. But
do you reckon he's on the plane out here? He's sitting up in business with no top on?
The real leathery sort of... He's just going through
airport security with no top on?
Yeah, you're right. It is real National Geographic. Come to look at those.
It's starting to show a bit of wear
really
and tear.
Really starting to... That's very leathery.
Hey, Dave's on the line. Dave, what happened while we were away, mate?
Oh, look, something that, you might have seen, Mickey, but firstly, can I just say, shit scared in the late show. My girls, I've got them into it, and everything has come into the vernacular, like, it's only 90Ks, it's dangerous. It's dangerous, it's 90Ks. And, it's all in the mind. You weren't concentrating.
It's all from the late show for anyone who's too young to remember. Yeah, mate, tell us, Dave, what did we miss while we were away?
Tiger got up and won the Women's Masters somehow. Yeah. My God, what an effort.
What a comeback.
Okay, so I need to tell you, I was on a golf trip while we were away the great state of Adelaide, South Australia, played all their best courses, came home that night and watched that round live. Now, I've said this before, if this ever happens, it's going to be the greatest comeback in sporting history, and it was. Here's just some of the excitement you may have missed.
This is the minute. what millions around the world have waited for. Waited for years. Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory.
That's a rock star performance,
isn't it? So what ensued then was one of the greatest 4 minutes I've ever seen of live TV.
Really?
I wasn't around for the moon landing, let's be honest. But this to me, as a grown man, I've waited to see that 11 years since a major, 14 years since the Masters.
So he's a guy who went through, he had like back surgery, he had real problems, didn't he? Like
he had a lot of problems, and not all of them physical.
Yeah, that's right.
This is a guy who's come from a long way back, and whether you're into the whole redemption story or not, or you just want to look at it purely from a sporting point of view, it's one of the greatest achievements I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And the crowd went berserk.
Oh, yeah.
And if you get a chance, go and have a listen to the 4 minutes. He hugs his young boy, which mirrors his dad hugging him after he won his first majors there. It's epic on every level, and I loved it. Hey, we better take a break. 1-3-3-5-3. We'll keep taking your calls.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
Jane, taking a couple of days leave, rostered days off. I'm
just lost. She's gone on a bender.
Don't know where
bender's
she is?
The phrase you're looking for. No idea.
Okay.
Where? Yeah, could be anywhere.
Have we heard
from
her?
We'll get to the
bottom
of that. Okay, all right. We'll get to that later. 1-3-3-5-3. Give us a call. What happened while we were away? Let's talk about politics. ScoMo has been making headlines. Bill Shorten is trying to play dead, down, fall across the line.
Yep.
Had a bit of a shocker last week. He might be back. But so far, the three votes go to Pauline Hanson, who came up. You know what? I wasn't... I quite thought climate change was real.
Me too.
Until Pauline Hanson came out and told me why it wasn't real and gave, just great evidence.
This has been a fact of life right from the time that Earth was here in place, that we've been going through climate changes on Earth. There was once an ice age. There was once a flood throughout Australia here, water.
I didn't think you were a climate change denier,
around at that time.
Though,
Pauline. We didn't have the industrialists here in this country at that time. There has been changes. What happened to the dinosaurs? How did they die off? Humans didn't create it. So there's been a lot of changes that have happened. They haven't released the true facts or figures as far as temperature changes over the years. They've fiddled with facts and figures. This has been man-made, this fear-mongering about climate change.
She went on then.
My thing is, they've got something against the scientists. The scientists have no axe to grind.
Oh, yeah, they do. I don't trust the scientists.
What do you mean?
Hey, where would you rather take your cues from? One Nation or peer-reviewed science,
that's right,
which has been proved 100 times over to be true.
I can't get my head around that.
Here's a big story. Natalie Portman has been photographed chowing down on a burrito as she enjoys a casual lunch.
Natalie Portman, really?
Now,
Mick,
to you this may just be a story that comes across your desk and disappears, but until you've been papped.
It's happened to you.
Until you've been papped eating a burrito as I was in Bondi Beach on my own.
I've seen the photo.
Well, it is. And sadly, you have.
I have.
Whereas you shouldn't have been able to. Because my privacy was violated as I was having a private moment with a burrito. It was a very personal moment between me and a burrito.
Was it chicken or beef, though? You can't remember.
Do you know what? I can't remember. It's probably one of each. Can we put the two photos, please, on our Instagram or on our social media?
We're doing it right
now. They're uncanny. They're uncanny. It's like we're like peas in a pod.
Well, it's Natalie Portman, so let's not get too carried away.
Natalie Portman and a very portly man.
Yes, that's right. Hey, I've got a story for you.
What?
This is something you miss while you're away. Cassowaries. You've heard of those birds.
I don't know what cassowaries are. They're a very dangerous bird.
Well, they're a flightless bird, and they're called the world's most dangerous. Anyway, one attacked and killed its owner when a man fell on his farm in Florida, according to authorities. He was out breeding the birds, but he's fallen into the pen. And the thing's clawed to death.
It's come in and they stab you to death with their claws.
They've got dagger-like claws on each foot. The second heaviest bird in the world after the ostrich is the cassowary. Similar
to
an emu.
Really fat turkey.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, you've got birds, haven't you?
I've got budgies, eight of them.
Why don't you get a cassowary?
No, I'm not going to do that.
Why don't you get a cassowary? If I bought you a cassowary, would you pop it in your
backyard? I don't think that'd be a great idea at all. I love birds, but I'm not really sure of cassowaries. I'd be
release
wary.
The cassowaries is what I'd do.
Yes. Well, they've got dagger-like claws. They can
That down the pet shop.
No.
All right. Mick, you can have this budgie. You can get a hamster.
That's right.
This rabbit or a cassowary. Right.
No, I'm not a fan of the cassowary.
Joe's on the line. Joe, what happened while we were away?
Yeah, Notre Dame cathedral burnt down.
Notre Dame. Yeah,
it was awful.
It was quite humorous because it was Easter.
Okay.
Do you reckon they're just trying to create a bit of attention?
A little bit of look over here, perhaps. I'm sad for that, though. That's 800 years old. A lot of history there, you know.
Why don't you donate to the charity? The worst charity ever.
I'm just saying.
They're one of the richest organisations on the face of the planet.
I won't be donating.
The Catholic Church? Is it the Catholic Church?
I believe it is. Yeah.
Yeah, and they need money. They need the world to give. Apparently, billionaires all around the world are donating money.
They're putting money into it, restoring it again.
It's 800 years old.
Come on.
At least it wasn't. Remember the fire at the MCG? That was one that got to me. Hey, what about this? A man is suing his parents for destroying his porn collection.
Oh. Suing them?
We do a segment on here called Bad Parenting?
Yes.
This has to be
Have porn collections, though.
Well, see, the porn stash.
Yeah. Oh, that was a thing. I remember.
Well, it was a big thing, but it's gone out now. Kids, listen up.
Yes.
Before there was internet porn, there was an art to having a porn collection. It was called your porn stash.
Yes.
And you used to have to hide it.
Yeah.
You used to have a series. It was like Indiana Jones.
It was.
You used to have a series of doors.
If you were lucky enough, like I was, my best mate Doug, his old man had a stash that we knew where it was hidden in the back shed. So,
did you?
Yeah.
That would have had access all areas. Did you have to? That was one of the videos. Did you have to sneak in and then return everything?
Had to make sure his old man was out when we went and have a look at the stash. Yeah.
The first porn stash we ever got from my neighbour's parents was an old movie. You know, we have even before VHS, before Beta.
Yeah.
It was reel to reel.
Are you kidding? On film.
The parents went away. We went up, set up the reel to reel.
Wow.
We didn't have a screen, so we set up against the wall.
Yeah.
Got it in focus. And all of a sudden, it made that thing where it started burning out from inside. Yes. And we realized the film had stopped going through the reel to reel and we'd burnt.
It's caught fire. It's melted.
A very important scene. A very important scene in this movie.
And
it wasn't 6 weeks before we were summoned.
Oh, is that right? It took a while for
to Mr. Woolridge's office and asked to answer.
Do you remember
a few
questions. The movie was at the time? Or you've...
Nah. You can have a guess. Okay. It was one of those Dallas operated
Porky style
things. Well, it was pre Porky's.
Oh, okay. All right.
There's a very good story. I tell you what, we've got many more coming down the pike, but I tell you what, when we come back, we're going to talk to Paul Collegiate.
Love.
About many things, but also his new live show.
All right, it's next.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Last time we saw Paul Collegiate, he was just back from a wine trip through France, where he learnt a few lessons about their laid-back approach to booze laws.
There was a boy pouring beers. There was no way he was any older than 10 years old. It was pretty bad when he cut me off about an hour into the session. I'm like
friend Lenny cutting me off. Yeah. Sorry, Dad, you've had too much.
Please welcome back to the show, Paul Collegia.
Hello,
welcome
Paul.
Welcome back.
How are you, mate?
I'm Mick.
Great
Dave.
To have you.
Hi, mate. Great to be here.
Now, you're doing a show called The Wine Bluffs. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yes.
And, of course, one of the writers on the front bar. Couldn't do it without you, mate. Thank you for all your help.
I agree with that, Mick.
Now, we were just talking about bad parenting.
Yes.
A man who's suing his parents because they destroyed his porn stash. Mm. Can you believe it? You would have had a stash back in the day, wouldn't you?
I did, Mick. Very.
Very past tense.
Very well hidden in Dad's shed behind a cupboard.
It was indeed. How are you as a parent? Because I know you've got children.
I have, and Easter reminded me probably of the worst moment of bad parenting that I had. Because how it worked at my house, the deal with me, if any kids are listening, the deal with me and the Easter Bunny was the Easter Bunny would drop the eggs off to me in a plastic bag, and then I'd get up early in the morning, hide them in the backyard, then my kids would get up with their baskets and go find the eggs.
Off they go.
Yeah.
The hunt is on.
Yeah, so one Easter morning, I got home about 4:30 a.m. and get woken up by my kids saying, Dad, the Easter Bunny hasn't been. The Easter Bunny, we've been in the backyard. The Easter Bunny hasn't been.
Yeah.
I jump out of bed going, go back and check again. So then I grabbed the eggs that had been left by the Easter Bunny for me and I go to the front yard and just chuck
throw them.
I'm just throwing the eggs out.
Strafe the yard with Easter eggs.
And the kids come back in I go, oh, maybe you should check the front yard.
Yeah.
Mm. They go and check the front yard, then they come back in crying. Oh, I go, what's wrong? They go, half the eggs are broken. There's two sitting in the dog's water bowl. There's four under the car. We can't even reach them.
It's a classic.
Oh, and I said, that Easter Bunny's going to get a stern talking to
you. You know what she said? The Easter Bunny's had a big night. Got home late and was in no mood to hide eggs. So there you go. Hey, mate, we were just doing Around the Grounds and we were talking about stories that were happening all around Australia. I missed Hobart.
Yeah,
I feel terrible. We did every state. You were in Hobart recently?
I was in Hobart doing wine.
You were doing the wine bluffs.
The wine bluffs recently, and this is my first time there, which I can't believe. Oh, I'm embarrassed to say.
Beautiful place.
But I did Mona the day before.
Yes.
So we went on the boat. It's a really cool experience.
It's amazing. It's put Hobart and Tasmania, well, not on the map because it always was, but it's been a great addition to the landscape down there.
That's awesome. And I went in the posh pit, which is the front of the boat where you pay a bit more and you get drinks and canapes on your trip over to the...
Pardon me, Your Majesty.
Over to Mona. But then there's a bar at Mona too. Well, there's two bars at Mona.
What are you on? Some kind of booze cruise?
That's what it was like. And on the way back on the boat as well. So that's the first time I've been done at like 6 o'clock at night. This is the day before the show, before the wine show.
That sounds right out there like a P&O cruise.
Definitely.
Getting all kinds of mis- Now, you also found a story. You reckon I got the wrong story in Perth. I was talking about the guy who'd spent 76 years trying to win a court case.
Well, Mick, I can't believe you especially.
Missed this
story in Perth.
What is it?
Mick, there's a strip club in Perth.
Mm.
Which is honouring Anzac Day with a women in uniform night.
Okay.
And is that right?
Yes, Mick. It might be worth joining the Army Reserve just for this week.
I have served.
What do you mean?
I've been over there. I'm allowed to march. Do you know that?
As an entertainer for the troops.
As an entertainer the troops. But I tell you what, I haven't entertained like these girls. Not that kind of entertainment.
Well, service men and service women get in for free, which so they're doing the right thing.
So after your game of two up, guys.
Yes.
If you've served, you go with two up, then you get to... Gee, this is turning into a great day for the ex-veterans.
Yeah. I think playing two up means something entirely different in the strip club, by the way, Mick.
What about the story? There was a story once about a guy, a woman who gave birth in the car park of a strip club. I think it was overseas. Mm. I remember thinking at the time, that's a very interesting story. And would you have to give... if it was a girl, you'd have to give that child two names. Hi, this is my daughter Rebecca, but you can call her Chardonnay. Some women will do anything to get the father to the birth, won't they? Let's have it in the strip club. Well, that's a great thing to do with Anzac Day looming on the horizon. Mate, I have to ask you about the wine bluffs.
Yes, Nick.
You are in Melbourne, I believe, for Friday the 26th of April and Saturday the 27th of April.
Yes.
7:30 p.m. shows. I've seen this show and I love it. It's all things about wine. Imagine my disappointment when you were at my house while we were watching the footy on the weekend, and the cork won't come out of the bottle, so I stab it in with a pair of scissors, and it still won't come out. And I go, I know, Paul Collegia from the Wine Bluffs here, he'll know what to do.
Yeah.
And you went, open another bottle, Mick.
Yes.
Good bottle of wine, and you were prepared to let it fly.
No, it was a Baby Grange.
It was a Baby Grange.
It was a bin 3 out of 9, a Penfolds bin 3 out of 9. I did immediately go into the mode like when someone's having a baby. I went, all right, we need paper towels.
We need
a strainer. We need.
Yeah.
But Mick decided to use a strainer without the paper towels, and the cork just went straight through.
There's a bit of cork. You've never seen anyone turn their nose up.
No kidding.
Well,
like Paul Collegia.
Mick's just there going, a bit of protein, that's fine.
Yeah, does it really matter? Yes.
Oh, you pick it out of your glass.
Exactly. Well,
and out of your teeth.
Hey, mate, can you hang around?
Yes.
Hang around. We're going to come back with Paul Collegia a little bit more after this. Wine Bluffs, if you're in Melbourne, get along and see the show, people.
Yeah, gasworks.org.au for info and tickets. Paul Collegia is our special guest. More with Paul right after this.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Paul Collegia in studio as well. The Wine Bluffs with Damien Cullinan and Paul Collegia performing at the Gasworks Theatre in Melbourne this weekend. Gasworks.org.au for tickets.
What's wrong with you? What, you forgot that you couldn't coincide the dates with the comedy festival down there? What happened?
We want everything to ourselves, Mick.
We want to hog the whole landscape.
We don't want to share the festival with
600. How's Callanan going? Are you still carrying him? Is he pulling his weight? He likes a drink. I know that much.
Yeah, he does. He does love
it. He's a very funny man, actually. In fact, we do a show called The Front Bar, and before that we did a show called Before the Game,
yes,
which was an AFL show, and I believe he was originally on that, wasn't he? Before my time.
He was there before your time, Mick.
And he's a very funny guy. He likes wine. I've seen that show. It's very, very good.
Mate, thank you, mate.
I can highly recommend it. Did you go around Australia? I said you're in Hobart. Were you up in Rocky recently? Rockhampton?
Well, we were judging wine at the Rockhampton show, actually, Mick. Yeah. So not a really classy... Well, Rockhampton show / Monster Truck Rally. So not a really classy...
A wine show, Monster
not,
Truck
not
Rally.
Not a really classy affair, Mick. But yeah, we've travelled the show around the country, and it's so much fun to travel the country and just drink lots of wine with different people.
Well, you drank wine with me on the weekend, and here's a bit of bad news for you. I forgot to put my bins out, and there's a whole wheelie bin full of empty red wine bottles, won't be collected now till next week. So thank you very much.
Mate, that is the... Can I just say, forgetting to put your bins out is the worst thing. The anxiety, Dave, that you have.
You hear the trucks coming.
For the rest.
Panic stations, no!
There's nothing worse than being woken to the noise of a truck coming up the street. You jump out of bed in your jocks, grab the bin, run down the street, only to realise that it's a delivery truck of some other sort and bin days tomorrow. But you know what my beef with my biggest beef with the garbage trucks is? Well, they've got those mechanical arms that pick up your bin and tip it in, right?
It's pretty lazy when you think about it.
But why don't they just make them a bit longer so they can reach down your driveway?
Turn the knob on your door.
pick up your bin from there. You don't have to take it out. Or knock on your door.
Why don't you give them one of those cherry pickers? You know, where they can get up in
and actually go and get it.
Into your backyard.
This is technology to make our lives better.
Yeah. I mean, why stop that? When your bin's full, though, for the next week, knowing that it wasn't emptied, I'm so anxious about that week. We basically don't eat anything that week. Because you can't overfill the bin by, if the lid is ajar.
They don't pick it up.
If the lid is ajar, they don't pick it up. Or the crows.
The crows are so
smart, they can get into that little bit.
Can't you redistribute amongst other bins in the street, though?
That is my pet hate.
Yeah,
Dave, if someone's bins empty, why?
It's none of your business.
It all goes in the truck. All goes in the truck.
I would be mortified if I got caught opening someone else's bin. I don't know. There's private stuff in there.
My pet hate is they pick up your bin. Mm. And leave it. Now you leave it out there for possibly half an hour, and you come back, and somebody there's coffee cups in there, some doggy doo doo. It's like they're waiting. It's like there's a bunch of homeless people living in your street who run out and fill your bin as soon as it's collected. So anyway, mate, hey, thanks for coming in. Coming
of
up,
of course, boys.
In the next hour, Mark Johnson.
Yeah,
he's going to join us in this special week regarding the veterans. And what he's doing in the space of the arts. This is very interesting stuff. You want to hear this with Anzac Day just a couple of days away. Turn your attention to this because we might be asking for you for some help.
Yeah, indeed. Mark Johnson next.
Thanks for coming in, Paul.
Thanks, guys.
Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
Well, Malloy at least, with Kennedy absent without leave at this stage. We'll get to the bottom of that a little later on in the show. Hey, big second hour. We are going to take your calls. We want to know about your embarrassing sporting situation. There's a bloke, Dave, in the T20 who's just had 5 ducks in a row.
Oh, that's not...
It's going to be hard to shrug that one off.
Not ideal on your record.
There's some locker room talk you don't want going on about you. What was your embarrassing moment? We'll get to the bottom of that. We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets, but let's start at the top of the hour with this bloke.
The use of art as therapy is not a new concept, even within the military world.
And Weary Dunlop, 70 years ago, as a prisoner of war, could see that art was really valuable for his fellow prisoners in keeping them alive.
Mark Johnson, as chairman of the Australian National Veterans Arts Museum, is helping vets and their families to tell their stories and hopefully start the healing.
It's about celebrating life and celebrating survival and using art as a tool to do that.
And they even have an Art Deco former repatriation clinic in St Kilda Road, Melbourne in their sights as a permanent home.
Opposite the shrine, part of Melbourne's arts precinct, and it's been empty for 23 years. What better use for it than a Veterans Arts Museum?
To tell us more about that campaign and their new exhibition for Anzac Day, March to Art Narratives, please welcome Mark Johnson.
Hello, Mark, and welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Mick.
And congratulations on all the work you do in this area. I can't tell you how much support you have from us, this program, this network, and so many other people. Now, especially good to chat to you on this very important week, as we in the build-up to Anzac Day, which is such a significant day on our calendar.
Absolutely.
Now, as someone who served, is it great to see how revered Anzac Day is in the modern day? I mean, there was a time there, I remember, when I went to uni back in the early to mid-80s, where it wasn't huge. Yeah. In fact, it wasn't even looked upon as something we should remember fondly at that stage. Yeah. It was still coming out the back of a pretty tough time for veterans, but it's come full circle, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, I've always been a little bit blind to that, actually. I grew up in the country, and Anzac Day was in the country always a big day. And then,
as it should be.
And then wanting to join the army when I was a teenager, again, sort of blind to those who didn't attend Anzac Day. But you're right, you know, the support for veterans, particularly on Anzac Day, is
it's incredible. And now, and everyone gets into it, and it's become a very important day, more important than ever. Before, let me begin by, before we get into your work, we were put together by Mary Skepsey, who's a friend of mine, and what's the word I'm looking for? Close to a saint.
Oh.
She does a lot of good work in many areas, and I get a call from Mary Skepsey, of course, who's a great artist in her own right.
Yeah.
She says, I know you're interested in matters regarding our returned servicemen. Can you talk to this bloke, Mark? Mark, tell us what it is that you and your group do, and VAM. Tell us what they do.
Well, the Australian National Veterans Arts Museum is a veterans organisation, and it's a cultural institution which does a range of things, but it's all about supporting the well-being of our veteran family, our current ex-serving and family members.
How does it do that?
Well, a number of ways. So we have exhibitions, and even exhibitions are designed to provide a level of support to those in the exhibition.
Yep.
And to the community who come and visit the exhibition. We've had one recently at Parliament House in Canberra, which was the first ever exhibition of veterans art at Parliament House.
See, that's crazy, isn't
it?
When you consider, too, like war, there are artists who have been sent to war and to document it on behalf of veterans. I know Ben Quilty, I think, did it during Afghanistan. It's if you've been to the War Memorial, there's just some very evocative artworks there. It seems crazy that it's been that long that veterans who have experienced war firsthand, it's taken so long to get them to canvas.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting. They used to commission artists out of the ranks, certainly in World War One and World War Two, to become commissioned war artists. And but for us, because they joined the military first before they were commissioned, they become a veteran artist.
Who are they? Could you give me someone on my
Ivor Hale is an example. He went on to be an Archibald Prize winner. Name escapes me, but there are plenty who did that.
For World War One, I'm reading names here for veteran artists like John Monash, Arthur Streeton, Banjo Patterson. These were all veterans.
That's right.
Wow. World War Two, you've got Arthur Boyd there. Sydney Nolan, Clifton Pugh, Albert Tucker, fantastic stuff. These are just artists. There's others like Bud Tingwell. I see names that we would recognise.
Yep.
And then you've got kids of veterans like I see Martin Flanagan's name. Yep. Dave O'Neill, our own Dave O'Neill.
Of course, yeah.
You could add my name to that too once you get there. Molly Meldrum, crikey. Yep. So tell us how it works for veterans, how it works.
Well, at its broadest level, it's about arts engagement, and we support veterans and their family members across the arts spectrum. So it could include art therapy at its most basic and rawest, where they may have mental health concerns.
Yes.
All the way through to showcasing their work on exhibitions like in the one in Parliament House.
Like the one in Parliament House, you've also, I think this, is it the same one? There's a QV building in Canberra.
The QV building is one here.
So there's one here in
Melbourne. That's our current exhibition, which has taken at least one artist from Parliament House. World War II veteran Guy Warren, who turned 98 years old last week.
And how's his painting going? Guy Warren AM?
Yep, still going. He told me he's busier than ever. He's got about four or five exhibitions going on at any one time.
And he's managed to squeeze you in.
Yep.
This is fantastic stuff. Can you hang around? I want to talk to you more, Mark, and I want to talk about this building that you're trying to second. It seems crazy that this is just not already a fait accompli, considering it's owned by the military.
Mm-hmm.
It's lying vacant, and you have a valuable use for it.
We think so.
What could go wrong? And money committed by at least the state government, I believe.
We'll talk about that.
Bottom of that.
Yeah. Mark Johnson, our special guest.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Mark Johnston is our special guest. He's the chairman and director of the Australian National Veterans Arts Museum and VAM, by the way, andvam.org.au. You'd like more information and perhaps to donate for some great causes
as well. Well, we're going to get to what you can donate to help Mark and his organising out on this Anzac Week, coming up to Anzac Day.
Yep.
By the way, we did a special for Remembrance Day. Jane and myself, and we're going to be replaying that.
Yes.
We'll get a replay twice on
Thursday.
On Thursday, but that was primarily to raise money for a repatriation hospital in Sydney.
That's right, yeah.
And now we want you to see, if you've got any spare coin, if you can help Mark out as he tries to get his hands on a building in Melbourne this time, down on St Kilda Road. Mark, before we get to that, also in Melbourne to support this, you have the Narratives Exhibition. This is a collection of work by artists, veterans. Talk us through it. How many veterans have got their art on display?
We've got four veteran artists, as we call them, but they include family members. So the mother of a veteran, the spouse of a veteran, a couple of kids of veterans, plus current serving.
And is the subject matter of their works about service at all? Or is it wide-ranging?
It's wide-ranging, totally up to them. So we curate it based on their interests, but the medium arts medium, or in this case, the fine arts medium, whether it's a photography or painting or printmaking.
Yes. I found this out recently too, that some of the best modern literature coming out of America at the moment are returned servicemen from Afghanistan. And the Vanity Fair did a review of all the books that they think are these emerging writers in the field of literature, and at least half of them were former vets. So clearly people get affected by their experience, and why wouldn't they? It's it's completely unlike any other experience in the world. I'm fascinated, and we found this out because I do some work for Soldier On.
Yep.
I'm glad to be an ambassador for their work. And what I've found lately is they have understood how essential it is to not just confine it to the veteran themselves, but to family, but to friends, and to support that entire network. You clearly are going down that track as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, family members suffer themselves as a result of service. One of the artists who's written a poem in our current exhibition, he's been away from his daughter for at least three of her 11 years.
Good Lord.
So
yes.
Just time away is...
Time away, it's an important stress to acknowledge. Okay, so let's forget the gallery just for a second. This building, you need a permanent home. You need a permanent residence.
Yeah.
This seems like a no-brainer to me. Explain to us the building involved.
Yep.
This is down in Melbourne. You want to get your hands on it. It's owned by the Department of Defence.
That's right.
I believe they have they bequeathed it to you in the past and reneged, or is it just you can't get your hands on it? Tell us about it.
Well, the department can't really do that, but the building, by way of background, was built in 1937 as a repatriation clinic for World War I veterans.
Yep.
It's the only one of its sort that I'm aware of in the whole country, and because it's available.
Is that a Victoria Barracks?
It's part of Victoria Barracks.
Part of Victoria Barracks, yeah. Okay. Yep.
It's part of the Melbourne Art Precinct. It's close to the Shrine of Remembrance.
It's directly opposite. So it ticks a few boxes.
Yep.
So it's historically part of the barracks. It's in the Arts Precinct. It's owned by the Department of Defence.
Yep.
It's a walking distance to the Shrine. What's the problem? Why can't you get your hands on this building and use it for such great effect?
I wish I really knew. I've spoken to the department several times. I've spoken to many ministers. I've spoken to the Prime Minister, several cabinet ministers, Minister for Defence, Minister for Health, Minister for the Arts, so on and so forth. It appears to be, when you boil it down to it, the definition of what is surplus to requirement. So the Department of Defence considers...
That sounds like a bureaucratic term to me, and I'm losing interest already, Mark. It's not addressing the issue. Are you saying this? You're tied up in tape?
Yep.
Is this the problem? Is who can we talk to? Okay, people out there listening now who are... And people, I know people of this country, they're so happy to help with this stuff and lend their support. Well, what can they do to help you get your hands on this building?
We just happen to be in the middle of a federal election right now.
Okay, yes. that's curious timing, isn't it? Yes.
During Anzac Day or the Anzac Day week.
With Anzac Day looming.
Yeah.
This would be a good time to lobby your government.
Absolutely. Yeah. So your local candidates for the Liberal and Labor parties,
yep.
Please email them,
yes.
Phone them, speak to them when they're out in rallies and say veterans need a home.
Please refresh my memory. Who is the Minister for Defence as we speak?
Minister for Defence is the outgoing Christopher Pyne.
Oh, right. Well, no wonder nothing got done. If it was a cocktail bar or had one, we might be in. Okay, so is that who we're lobbying directly?
I would say the leaders of both parties.
The leaders of both parties have to ante up. It doesn't get more important than this. Get involved.
It's a beautiful old building too.
It is.
Art Deco, isn't it?
Incredible building. Yeah. I can't think of a more natural home
for
something that involves both the military and the arts. It's just a sitting duck. It's incredible. Mm. If this building gets used for anything else, it'll be a crying shame. What about, are you taking donations at all, Mark?
Yeah, we've got available on our website. We've got a portal for members of the community to donate.
Have you got the details there?
Anvam.org.au. There you go.
All right, and we'll post those on our socials and try and get support. Mark, well done. Thank you for all the work you do in this field. It's incredible. I can't wait to see the exhibition. I'm sure it'll be moving. Please get along. Where do people go?
It's the No Vacancy Gallery at the QV building down in Melbourne.
And what a better week could you think of to go and take your children and wander around and have a look at the artists of 14 artists. Mark, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for
having me. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Right.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Can I just tell everyone, please, Mark Johnson is 100% right. There's a federal election on. What better time to lobby either Bill Shorten or ScoMo and say, hey, with too much lip service. It's Anzac Day coming up. This is a very important issue. Mm. You'll get my vote if you can get the Department of Defence to sign off and allow this. It should be a no-brainer.
100%.
What a great service it is. Returned servicemen and women. It's arts community. It's such a bridge. It's so important for our future. Come on, ante up.
Let's do it.
Time to do something good.
Make it happen.
Yeah, let's get going. Please lobby them on behalf of Anvam, and let's get that rolling. Now, let's segue from the arts to the world of sport.
Yes.
And already during this show, we've lionized Tiger Woods for his fantastic achievement.
Comeback.
One of the greatest sporting achievements in the world. Let's muck around down the other end of the pool now and talk about those less important, those that won't be remembered or will be remembered but for all the wrong reasons, and that is those operating in the area of really bad sports.
I feel bad for this guy.
I do too. Yeah. His name's Ashton Turner. He's Australian, and he's just posted his fifth duck on the trot in the IPL.
So he's a batsman, right?
I wouldn't know.
But that's his position though.
No, it's not.
Australian batsman Ashton Turner says in the article.
All right.
So I'm just saying, he's not the bowler, or he's a batsman.
Well, even if he's a bowler, it'd be shit out.
Yes. But, you're a batsman, that's your job.
But you got one job.
That's it.
We should do this in our one job segment.
He's five ducks.
All right, steady on. What are you doing? You're flaying the guy?
I just feel bad for him.
Don't you feel sorry for him at all?
A little bit.
A fifth duck on the trot for Ashton Turner in the IPL has got him an unwanted slice of history. Playing for the Rajasthan Royals under the captaincy of our own Steve Smith.
Mm. I got the audio, by the way, if you wanted to hear
of
him.
What?
The ducks.
Of all of them?
Well,
or just
some
fifth?
Of them.
Here we go.
Have a listen.
Oh, gone. Gone. Turner's gone again.
It's a third first ball duck. Would you believe it? This is the worst nightmare. Coming through for Ashton Turner.
I feel bad. I feel bad for him. That's
his third golden duck. Oh, so man. He's got five ducks in a row, yep. Three of them golden. I'd like to know how many balls he's faced all up.
Yes.
This guy's an idiot.
Oh, he's not.
I believe he is.
And hello to the Ashton family, or the Turner family who might be listening right now.
Well, awful. I mean, look, he's got one job and he can't do it. It got me thinking about, and we've done this once before on the program, talking about embarrassing sporting moments in your career or others.
Yeah.
And it got pretty ripe. Have we got a little clip from the last time we did this?
I once witnessed our basketball team 86 points to nil.
Oh, my God.
Back in the under-12 South Ringwood versus Knoxville, we bowled Knoxville all out for three.
Hey.
The opener did make two, and the number 11 made one, and unfortunately 2-10 didn't do much.
Oh, my God.
Peter Boone took seven for one.
I was about 11 or 12 years old, and I was playing basketball for my team. There was about 20 seconds left on the clock, and we were down by a point, and the ball got into my hands. I ran, and there was no one down the end of the court, and I was like, yes, I have a free run, I'm gonna get it. And I shot, and it went in.
Yeah.
And I found out that everybody wasn't yelling because I was gonna win, they were yelling because I was running up the wrong end of the court.
Wrong end.
Amy,
you sound still traumatized by this.
I stopped playing that year.
Oh, no.
Get back on that pony,
that's
Amy.
That's terrible. Go and join another team now. Come on. Yeah. It's time.
That's terrible. Hey. You know, Dave, I remember at my school swim sports on one occasion, a bloke who was so slow in a race, before he finished it, they started the next race.
That is awful. He's still going.
Hey, Gabby's on the line. Yeah. Gabby, you've been involved in an embarrassing sporting moment in history.
I certainly have.
What happened?
This was actually in 10-pin bowling. I was given this once-in-a-lifetime chance to go and have a game with the world champion 10-pin bowler, Steve Lovett.
Oh, what? Wow. Who was that at the time? What was his name?
Steve Lovett.
Steve Lovett. Man. All right. Gotcha. And how'd you go?
I managed to just miss and miss and miss. I ended up with 27. He got 290.
Wow.
That's a prize, Dave.
27.
That is a prize for
Gabby.
Prize
pack coming your way, Gabby, for that effort.
Gabby, do you still tread the boards down at your local bowling, 10-pin bowling centre?
I do on occasion. I used to be all right. I used to sort of get in the like high hundreds. And
what happened?
That one game, it was just... It's broken you.
Yeah.
All right. You get the idea, people. We want to hear about your embarrassing sporting moments. Give us a call, 133353.
Take them right after this.
A drive home with a show motto is what could possibly go wrong. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Taking your calls on 133353. Sporting, being known for...
Embarrassing sporting moments.
Yeah.
This is all in honour of Ashton Turner, who in the IPL has just secured his fifth duck in a row, three of which were golden.
That's unreal.
That is incredible.
That's embarrassing, isn't it?
He was playing under the captaincy of Steve Smith. Maybe he was ball tampering for the opposition.
Maybe he was. Maybe. But you get the yips now, though, wouldn't you? Every time you go out, you think, this is going to be number six.
That'd be some good heckling. You'd be sledged to death, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
So in honour of him, we're asking you about your embarrassing sporting achievements. Paul's on the line. Paul.
Hey, Nicky.
What have you got for us, buddy?
I refereed a embarrassing moment a bunch of years ago.
Yep.
Was women's basketball.
Yep.
A really good team against a really, really bad team.
What was the score?
The score ended up being 99-1.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
Wow.
And the team that got 99 were really upset because they didn't hit triple figures.
Yeah, that's right.
And the team that scored one was so over the moon because it was the first time they'd ever scored a point.
Did you have a hand in that as the referee? Yeah. Did you in any way favour them to get that one goal?
I actually did.
Well, I hope you're happy with yourself, Paul. You were there.
Yeah, I am.
You can say I was there that day. Well done. Griff's on the line. Griff. What was your story?
Playing cricket, basically got hit in the protector / box, basically where you don't want to get hit. That box split and caught a lot of my scrotum within the split.
Oh, my God. Ouch.
Yeah.
Have you subsequently had it removed?
My brother was in the same side, and I nearly fainted when he said he was going to go and get his ankle grinder. to get me get it out of there.
But, okay.
Good Lord.
But, yeah. How did it feel? Was that painful, I have to ask? Was it?
Yeah, it was painful, but, you know, I've since had kids. But,
well, it all works.
Worst part about it, I went off and fixed the damage and I came out and got out next ball.
Oh, but at least you came back out. Yeah, that'll be exactly. A trouble. Was everyone aware of the incident? Was everyone aware what had happened?
Oh, yeah. That, well, there was, let me just say there was... modestly, something about Mary. We have a bleeder.
We have a bleeder. Oh, there you go, Griff. Give Griff a prize,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, prize pack for that, Griff. Well done, man.
All right, Lawson's on the line. Lawson, what happened to you, mate?
Oh, playing soccer in the under-13s, and we had a great game where we lost 16-0.
Oh, 16-0 in soccer. That's fairly... Jeez. Wow,
comprehensive.
Even the goalkeeper got to have a go.
I thought the goalkeeper scored one. What? Was it a penalty, was it?
They got a penalty shot, so they called him up. Just to make sure everyone got a chance to score.
Well, that is fantastic. I thank you for bringing that to our attention. George is on the line. George, embarrassing sporting moment for you, mate?
G'day, Mickey. Playing golf down at Sunshine and playing Stableford, sliced off the tee of the 11th and a hole-in-one on the first.
Hang on.
Wait.
Yep. So you've got a hole-in-one,
yep.
But not on the hole you were playing.
It was like a 40-metre slice and a hole-in-one on a par 4.
Oh, that's
George,
nuts.
A 40-metre hard slice, but in the hole.
Yeah.
That could give George a prize, mate. That's
well done. A prize pack for you as well, George. Well done,
thank
mate.
You.
Wow. That, what did your mates say to you on the tee? Were they...
Well, they were waiting for me at the green, and I've wandered off to the first, and I'm like, hey, come over here, and then they have to run 100 metres to have a look at it.
Yeah. Well, good on you. Mount that ball, put it on the mantelpiece. As far as I'm concerned, it is the most unique hole-in-one I've ever heard of. George, Reese, what happened to you, mate?
G'day, Mickey. I was playing footy in the reserves, and I got knocked out, and I'm laying down on the stretcher, neck brace, everything strapped in by the ambos.
Yeah.
And there my daddy's leaning over the top of me, giving both thumbs up whilst the mate's taking photo. And not only...
So this is a photo opportunity for your dad.
Yeah, not only that, is my uncle called me about 2 weeks later and goes, oh, there's a photo of you on Instagram with your old man giving thumbs up.
Oh, well done. Well, that's an Instagram moment, isn't it?
Well done,
neck brace,
Reece.
On the stretcher.
Oh, I love it. That's a good father-son bonding
really
moment,
is.
If ever I've heard of one. Hey,
one of the best.
Keep your calls coming. 133353. We're having fun. We'll keep taking these.
Embarrassing sports stories.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
133353 can join in. Embarrassing sporting stories. It's time to fess up.
It's all in honour of Ashton Turner,
who's
secured an unwanted slice of sporting history by getting 5 consecutive ducks, including 3 golden ducks. Mm. What an idiot. He's Australian. He's over there in the IPL playing for Steve Smith. Wow, he'll be copping a fair bit. Mm. John, what was your embarrassing sporting moment?
Yeah, I should be joining Ashton because I may have dropped a few catches in one game of cricket.
How many in the one game?
4.
Oh, John. What a shocker.
Okay, John, it wasn't the same batsman 4 times, I hope.
No, but like a couple of my mates are playing in the other team, and so it's like hard to say hi to them after you keep dropping all of their teammates again and again and again.
It wasn't
so,
a fix, mate. You weren't letting your friends off lightly, were you?
Oh, no. I didn't get any profit out of it whatsoever.
John, that is a terrible story. 4 catches, 1 game. I love it. Kai's on the line. How old are you, Kai?
I'm 10.
Okay, you're 10. Speak into the phone, mate. Hold it up. Now, what's your embarrassing sporting moment, Kai?
What happened was my team won every single game of the...
Sorry, Kai. You've got to hold the phone up, mate. We can't hear you, buddy.
All right. My team won all the my cricket games and my cricket competition. Then in the semi-final, my team got all out for 42 and lost the game by a lot.
So you've said, Kai, you've won every game of the season.
Yes.
And then you lost your first game in the semi-finals.
Yes, that's true.
Kai, you seem to be taking it in your stride for a 10-year-old. You'll get him in the under-12s, Kai.
You will.
Are you a batter or a bowler, mate?
I think I'm a bowler, and I was in the under-12s competition.
Under-12s.
Give Kai a prize.
Yeah, your prize pack coming your way, Kai.
All right, Kai, you'll get him next time, champ. Yeah. Dean's on the line. Dean, what happened to you?
Hey, Mickey, how are you?
Good, mate.
Yeah, I was just playing soccer back a few years ago, and my mate scored a goal, but in the process of scoring a goal, he broke his leg.
How?
The ball was there up for grabs, and him and the goalkeeper went for it, and he's gone and hit the post with his leg.
Oh, he slid into it.
Yeah, snapped his leg in two, but all he cared about was whether he scored the goal or not.
Right. It would have been hard to do his goal celebration with a broken leg. Unless it was the worm or something. He could have done the worm. Would have looked like
we still lost the game, though, and he went all that effort.
He's an idiot, Dean. Hey, thanks for the call. Phil's on the line. Phil, what happened to you, mate?
Oh, about 30 years ago, I rocked up to the Hornsby Hotel to play Eddie Charlton in a demo game.
Oh, a game of pool.
In pool.
How'd it go?
Well, I screwed my fancy cue in, and then about 5 minutes later, I unscrewed it. I didn't get a shot.
Not one shot.
You did not get a shot playing against the great Eddie Charlton. Well, I had a different experience because I played Eddie Charlton.
Really?
I did, in a sketch for The Late Show.
No kidding.
And it ended with Eddie Charlton not getting one in and doing a lap around the table with his pants around his ankles.
Wow.
So I got Eddie Charlton back for you, Phil.
Good on you, mate. I don't know if I want to see him without his pants on.
Yeah, well, he was a good egg that day. Mm. I remember getting it was funny because we were at the Bentley Club, which was a snooker club, and we got all their members who were sitting in the stands.
Yeah,
and I have no idea about snooker; never played it in my life. Mm. Anyway, I banged it in, got two reds in off the break, and they all stood up and started clapping.
That's a good thing.
And Eddie Charlton turned to me and goes, "As long as you play this game, you'll never do that again."
Oh,
I believe it's like a hole in one or something.
No kidding. Well done.
Yeah, I told her.
Eddie told a few.
Exactly. Yeah. I said, "Just do what I do." Yeah, hey, good on you, Phil. Jason's on the line. Jason, what happened to you?
Yeah, g'day, Mickey. I was at cricket one day, next in the bat, padded up.
Yeah.
We lost a wicket. I grab my gear, start walking out to the pitch, put my box in. About 20 seconds later, so in tremendous pain down where the sun don't shine.
Oh, no.
What happened?
On the ground, screaming. Everyone else was laughing at me. I had a green ant in my box.
The old green ant in the box. At least it wasn't a fire ant. Well done, Jason. Thanks for your call. We get the idea.
Oh, I love it.
Hey, people, we'll be back to boot this baby home.
You got it.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
Malloy at least. Mm. Kennedy to return later in the week. Friday, I believe.
Friday.
A lot of people are wondering, well, we all get Thursday off for Anzac Day, of course.
Yeah, yes.
A very important day on the calendar for everybody.
Hey, by the way, just before we move on, your Soldier On special, Mick, will be heard right around Australia on the network Thursday, Anzac Day. Check your local guides, but it's must listen.
As I said, not for my personal interest, but it's worth a listen to hear some of the stories that are told by veterans and families of veterans. Where is Jane?
Yes.
People keep asking. I've been sworn to secrecy. Rehab. But William Olsen says a very long ladies' lunch could be right.
Oh, yeah.
Brad Cook, name a location with where they make wine.
Oh, yeah.
She's more than likely there.
Beast Within says prison.
Prison.
Jane could be in prison.
No. No, she's too good for that. Schmick says Aldi. What's on an Aldi?
True. Might be their special buys.
And Dan says scouting France for a new handbag. It could be it, or a very large strawberry.
That's true.
Now, I believe also on Instagram there's a picture of me eating a burrito and Natalie Portman eating a burrito.
Yeah, side by side. Neil says, which
leave
one?
Us alone.
Oh, yeah, well, that's both of you. Jonathan Cross says, did you inhale that thing, Mick? Did you swallow that thing whole, Mick? Says
no, I didn't.
Grand. Seems
that'll
to be a
do.
Theme.
Hey, tomorrow, mate, on our show, which is our last show before Anzac Day, Adam Rosenbarks and Lemo, who both entertained the troops with me over there, will be joining me on the show. John Schumann also will be on hand to
check
talk
that.
Us through it. We'll talk about his new song for the Police Association.
That'll be Wednesday's Kennedy Malloy.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.